WrestleMania
Beta! Welcome to the first episode of R-Truthers.
R-Truthers.
I'm doing that X-Files.
Adam family.
R-Truth. R-Truth.
This is beneath us. This is the sort of thing that other podcasts would
He's
do.
Rapping and he's wrestling.
I think he was friends with Tupac.
He's older than he seems. So we decided that we would, for no apparent reason, just launch into a new series where we watch as many matches as we can.
As we can handle. As we can handle. Stomach.
I've watched two now.
Yeah. I already think this is a two-episode run.
They're samey, aren't
they're
they?
Very samey. They're samey. They're very samey.
Very much, you know, you might be listening to this and going, this is better not be what they're doing now. No, it isn't. Yeah. This is literally the 5 minutes after.
Yeah, we've done a normal
show.
Record, yeah. We've just done an hour and a half. We've done nearly 2 hours on North Korea.
Yeah.
This is our dessert. But it's a dessert that I thought I would enjoy.
No!
I've realised that it's one of those desserts that involves way too much cake and not enough sugar.
I'm worried that by doing this, I will resent R-Truth. And I will also...
Resent a little bit of WM.
Oh, yeah, very much so. Very much so. But I think more that I've sort of gone... We're paying too much attention to something which doesn't deserve that much attention.
That's true.
And it slightly withers under it. And that's not his fault.
Yeah.
He's not there to be... You know, scrutinized.
No,
He just pops up and he does his thing.
It's the ColecoVision video game system.
Mm.
Nobody wanted it. It was relatively popular at the time. But if people try and buy the rights to it and reimagine it in a kind of like, you know, a 2022 kind of style and sell it again, nobody wants it.
The last person who wants this is Ron the Truth Killings. He doesn't want a podcast dedicated to him.
No.
You can only go one way. It's not like we're going to go every week, oh, he's getting better and better.
Yeah.
We're really enjoying it. Yeah. It can only go one way, which is just going, here he goes again with the same old shit.
And we're doing this at a time where he's just blown out his knee.
I know. He's
injured himself at 50. He's injured himself at 50, jumping over. Are we going to start with the R-Truth versus Miz match?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay, right, yeah. For the United States title match, Raw, May 24th, 2010, ages ago, he does a move in this match.
Doesn't he?
That's exactly the same awful move he did in the match that he blew out his knee on.
This was
a few days ago.
Entirely at random, this match.
Does he do this every match? Throws himself out of the ring and either someone doesn't catch him.
Yeah.
And people go, hey, that guy was sloppy. And go, no, I don't know.
The annoying thing is they go, you have the first like minute of the match and then Michael Cole goes, we're going to a break. And they come back from the break and R-Truth is looking ill. And injured, and they just go, he really hurt himself.
He really hurt himself.
And I was like, are we not going to see this? Because this has gone really well. But they do show you it.
Yeah.
And it doesn't look like it was Miz's fault. He does a tope, sort of simple, sort of jumping over the top rope, but he just spikes his head, absolutely goes in like a nail into the floor, absolutely stomach churning. This takes place in Toledo, Ohio.
It does.
That is,
R-Truth is very willing to let us know that.
Yeah.
Fact. Yeah.
When he comes out and he does his rap at the start, he comes out to his music. Mm. What's up?
What's up? Yeah, he's asking everyone what's up. Yeah.
Two things about that. One, he's a bit breathless from the word go. I don't know whether he comes out with too much excitement and there's an adrenaline dump.
Yeah.
And he's also seemingly some of the lyrics are being played out and he's singing over them. So some of the times he's dropping it, but then the lyrics aren't there.
Right, yeah.
And so he's sort of going a bit of a turn. What's up? And then he starts doing what's up off the beat.
Yeah.
And I look at that and I go, oh, are you sort of going, look, I'm music, you know.
I will freestyle if I feel like it.
I am equally at home off the beat as on.
Yeah. I'm Matt Healy in a big T-bone stick on stage. If you look at, because I thought we were going to do a little bit more on R-Truth today, I've been sort of, because I know he's a man who lives in, you know, that bit in Interstellar where he's in the shelf.
Yeah,
he's neither here nor there. He's in between things. R-Truth is like an in between guy.
He is.
Like he's a mid-carder, but he at best, but he has so much exposure for one who does so little, and he. And I think it's all about Vince McMahon being really fond of him.
He must be, because he is one of the longest serving WWE on-air talents.
Yeah.
So this was his second time around. He'd come back in 2010.
Yeah.
And they decided to push him. He'd had a run in TNA. TNA had made him the NWA Championship. So don't think that this is going to be like one of those R Truthers podcasts where they don't incorporate the fact that he was in TNA.
Yeah.
We got years to cover
exactly.
on this
damn right,
dude.
Yeah.
But he comes back in 2010 and they do sort of give him a bit of a push. Mm. And he's been there ever since. He's been there 13 years, Pete.
Apparently, Vince, he is Vince's favourite superstar.
That's amazing.
Which kind of checks out because he lives in the space between the wrestling.
He does. He is quite clearly a superstar wrestler.
Yeah.
But I can't think of any merchandise he's got. He comes out and everyone says is, you know, what's up? But you don't hear it outside of wrestling in any way.
Yeah.
If you saw what's up on a t-shirt at a wrestling thing, you just go, what's that about? I don't know. You wouldn't go, oh yes, that's R-Truth.
Yes.
R-Truth, if you said to your mum, what does R-Truth do? She go, I've no idea.
I think he works around Iceland.
Yeah, R-Truth.
R-Truth.
Is this really... I really want to see R-Truth. That is...
Just a woman who works in a library.
That's amazing. R-Truth and R-Ruth teaming up.
Yes.
Oh, please.
Beautiful.
He's too old for WWE.
Yeah.
And yet they... haven't sort of gone, he's a veteran talent and legend. He's going to be in the Hall of Fame of WWE, but he's never going to be in the Hall of Fame of the Wrestling Observer.
Yeah.
It's a really weird...
He lives in the bookshelf.
Yeah, what
he's
is
looking
this
at
guy?
His daughter crying because he can't see it, can't talk to her or something. I don't know.
His daughter as well, because of his... He had children young and he is a bit older. I think his daughter is something like...
40.
Like 37.
37.
And it's just... It's just confusing, the whole thing. How is he... Why is he doing this? I used to make music with Tupac. What were you doing here?
Well, listening to an interview with him, talking about his life. And this podcast is already going on 6 minutes longer than I thought it was going to be. But his past going into wrestling was like, he was in out of jail. He was like, you know, slinging whatever. But he was a musician. And that was his greatest love. That was his first love. That's why he still inexplicably releases records.
Yes, he does.
And awful,
well,
awful.
Well, he's paid so much, he can.
Yes, I know. But it's like, who's the guy with the moustache from the Rockers? Is it the Rockers? No. Who's the guy who, back in the day, Haynes?
Oh,
who,
Michael Hayes.
Michael Hayes, sorry.
Freebirds.
Sorry.
Yeah,
Freebirds. Yeah, Freebirds. Who
I love
loves...
the way you go, who's the ridiculous?
who's
that ridiculous, like, vainglorious prick with
the
facial
Haynes.
Hair?
It's Haynes.
Haynes?
It's Haynes. P.S. Haynes. He does vanity little
he
records
does,
here
yeah.
and there. So I think Archie's probably more in that sense. But he is it. You know, like when that Welsh actor. Here we go. Here we go on a journey.
Michael Sheen.
No.
Oh, God,
no. Different one. Welsh actor doing an album at the moment. You can't move for him. He's always on fucking Saturday brunch.
Yes. Luke Evans.
Yes.
There you go.
Luke Evans releasing a vanity album with Charlotte Church, etc. And you sort of go, why do they let these people do this every time?
He was doing Bridge Over Trouble. Oh, do you know what? Give me Bridge Over Trouble Water because I can do it better. I do it better than that. Because I feel in the original that they have a delicacy, whereas
I just got a big strong voice.
I can just fucking pump that one out. Absolute wall of fucking sound. Oh, sound. Where is Luke Evans from now?
Who knows?
Oh, mate.
He's got on a ferry. He's learned a thing or two. Well, he is an actor. But yeah, so it's like that kind of like vanity project that people cannot resist doing.
There'll be certain fans who buy everything, but also, I look at that and I go, he does his album and WWE are sort of like, you know, oh, well, we'll promote that for 1 week or whatever.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But he could never like do an autobiography because it would, who's going to buy it? So it's a weird thing where you're not quite one and you're not quite the other.
He's in.
I feel like he came back at this period because WWE had a real problem with representation. They didn't have many African-American stars certainly not African-American stars who were, you know, charismatic and on the mic. You had people like Viscera. Were there, but you know, they wanted, and they'd seen him doing TNA, you know, thriving. And I think they were like, he's popular, we'll like him, bring him back. Mm. And they did need that representation. And at this point, they are actually pushing him quite hard. But it's at a time when no one cares.
Mm.
And the odd thing about R-Truth is, as delightful as he is, watching him, you're a bit like, this doesn't build in the same way that like good wrestling matches do.
No.
He does a couple of bits in this match where he is 37. In this match.
Right.
So he's 50 now, currently, as we speak. He does a sort of like a drop kick that's really good. you realise that a lot of drop kicks you see, drop kick must be the worst performed move as a whole within wrestling, because it often looks really bad. Yeah. And he does two really good ones here. There's one he does off the turnbuckle onto Miz, where he comes off at a funny slanted angle. And when he hits Miz, he actually bounces back off Miz. So it's like, there's no sense that he hasn't made contact. He's thumped into him. That's great. Good. I did notice in this as well, a bad sign for this whole project is that when he comes out, this turned out to be one of the bigger matches he'd be in. You know, it would be his first major singles win in WWE. He had previously held the hardcore belt, and they were very much like that. I'm fucking out. But there's a kid at the front who is holding a sign that says The Miz. And I was like, that's not what you want to see.
No.
When you come out and you go, this is my big moment, it's against The Miz. Everyone's going to, kid on the front row with a big Miz sign there. This is a confusing bit where they're going, this is a match for the vacant or vacated US title belt that Bret Hart held. And Bret Hart has now been made the general manager, so he's had to relinquish the title. Or they've said he just has. They don't even say we said to him. They're just like, he doesn't want to do it no more. And what you can see there as well is that was an angle they'd booked themselves into and couldn't get out of. Bret Hart comes back for his match with Vince McMahon. He hangs around and they do put the belt on him. I think in the hope that he'd then go, I'll start wrestling again now.
Yeah.
I'll go against all the doctor's advice and what time has done and I'll just wrestle. And when it becomes clear he can't, they have to go, okay, well, just let's have a match between, I know, fucking R-Truth and Miz. And that's this match.
The Miz must have been used so many times where it's just like, I just need something. Just put anything. Yeah. Again, he just puts anything on. And he's carved out a career of just being, I don't know, not there, but like.
They have a thing of just going heat. There's no one better in the business than getting heat than Miz. And then you just go, no, he doesn't get heat. You just don't want to see him.
Yeah, it's like, actual
look like someone's being riled by the Miz.
No. Got a reaction out here. You can't deny it.
I mean, the Miz, it's just inbuilt. I'm not going to buy a ticket. Well, you want to buy a ticket to see if he gets beat? No.
I don't want to see him. Put him away.
If you give me some money, I will literally ride behind him and I will stab him with a fork and I'll send you that video. Okay.
Fine.
Looks like I've got a Miss Holic in the house. But this was fine. I mean, he hurt himself very early on. And then
I've already seen two mismatches. And he's hurt himself in every one.
Yes. And there are moments in these two matches that we watched, because the one we see next week as well is a similar sort of time, about a year apart. And this is the point where the WWE haven't begun tweaking the audio of the crowd.
Right.
And so they always have a base level that runs through the shows now, and they will manipulate that as it goes. And in this, they haven't got that yet. And sometimes the crowd are literally silent. And you'll hear one person going, and that's going on, and I was really like, this is objectively bad. You know, he comes out, does two drop kicks, lands on his head, the crowd are totally dead, and then he wins a belt. Michael Cole does say, he's so exciting, R-Truth. He's so exciting.
Isn't he exciting?
Oh, if he does something exciting, you can back that up. But at the minute, that's just you saying he's very exciting.
Yeah, I mean, if you are a man who studies spinal injuries, maybe, I don't know, yeah. How's he going to get this one this time?
He finally wins, doesn't he, with a move that Michael Cole, he says he's done his move, and he has to... The lie detector there. Nobody remembers that Miz's finishing move was called the lie detector. But it's also one of those great wrestling moves where you go, this doesn't make any sense.
Yeah.
So he basically bumps into Miz and then does a sort of like 360 body spin as he comes off Miz.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, that spin is totally irrelevant to the move. It'd be a bit like you do a chop and then you sort of like just line your belly and swivel yourself round and you're like, it's all part of the same move.
Right.
It was just a chop, dude. But, you know, the rest of it is all just gilding and it's silly. And so I did look at that and just go, that is very, very silly. This didn't seem like a major title match, but he at the end seemed genuinely pleased to have won this belt. He was really kind eyes, looked happy. And he blew a little kiss. Didn't use his hand. He just went... like that. And I was like, oh, that's nice. He wasn't doing it like Rick Rude. I think it was probably one of those things where he'd said to someone little at home, you make sure you watch my match tonight. You make sure. And at the end, if I blow a kiss, that's for you. And I bet that's what he's like. I bet he's really lovely. But the match was dog shit.
No, we can't have that. We can't have this, Mark. We can't have this. Oi, oi, oi. So, I mean, that's the end of...
That's the end of the debut episode of Our Truthers.
I'm going to put a drone on it. That's the end of the Our Truthers podcast for whatever day this comes out.
I run the run runnings. This guy, this crazy man, is a killer, killing, killing stunt. Run the truth, killing the truth is out there. Our Truth.